be filled with your grace, singing all day long. Let my mouth be filled with your grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let my mouth be filled with your grace, singing all day long. I'm singing all day long.
The best thing about life is right here and right now. Everything evolves around what we're doing right now. People are trying to get their lives back together again. I got to work on this. Well, I'll tell you what, work on this. And as you work on this, you'll find God start to work on that for you. Don't run away from your strength, but stay in the house of God. These are the last days. These are the last days. And this is the time that we need to come together and really consider some things and get ready for what God wants to do. Amen. I'm excited about Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, the devil is afraid of 2001. And if he could roll back the clock just a little bit, he would. But he can't. And if he had his way, he wouldn't want you to cross over to 2001. But there's nothing he could do about it. Somebody said, if I could just stand to be blessed, I'll be blessed. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure love fervently. See to it that you love everybody. Look at somebody in the face and say, see to it that you love. We've been talking about fellowship, relationships, and how we should deal with one another. But if you want to make it in the last day, I mean, it's just not to be a nice person. It goes beyond that. We just think, oh, it's just to be a Christian, you just got to be nice. Of course, that's true. To make it and to stand strong in the last day, you're going to have to learn to love your brethren. We're going to have to learn this fellowship thing. We're going to have to learn this social thing. We've got to learn this society thing about the believers in Christ Jesus. We have to learn how to get along, and we have to learn how to stand strong as a body of believers. It says, see to it that you learn to love one another. Somebody say, I'm going to learn the love walk. Many people fall on the wayside, not because of a lack of, I mean, they get spiritual, they fall out under the Holy Ghost, they speak in tongues, they can prophesy. 3 years down the road, you don't see them anymore. Not because of what they prophesied, not by how much they rolled, but by the lack of their love walk. Churches, many churches collapse, not because the anointing of the Holy Ghost is not there, but they collapse because they have not learned to nurture how to walk in the love that Jesus said that we should walk in. Love is absolutely essential. And there's a part of God that you will only get as you learn and as you live in the kingdom of God, which is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But you can have that when you learn to walk in love. And this has been the lesson of our nation. This is the weakness of our nation. This is the weakness of the church in America. We don't know how to love each other. We just don't know how to love each other, but we got to get over this and get on to what God wants. But seeing that you have purified your souls means that you got your stuff together. A while back, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim were on the television, and they were teaching on the shalom of God. Nothing broken, nothing missing, everything made whole. Well, God wants to do that in all of us. And many of our psyches are just messed up. Our souls are all turned up and twisted, but God wants to straighten it out so that we would be able to love one another. Now, going on, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again. You can learn something, but if you don't walk in what you learn, it doesn't do you any good. We're going to find out several things that there are different saints. You've got to find out what your mission is for the year coming in. Who are you? What are you called to do? And what do you expect from that year? And as studying this word, I found about two different kinds of people. Of course, we got the worldly people, but within the body, there are two different types of people. There are going to be two different graces and two different anointings that people are going to be flowing in. You've got to find out which one. And there are going to be some people learning. Listening and learning. But there are others that you're not, you know, you need to always be hearing, but you need to go on to the next step. Doing it. And right here we're going to find, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings as newborn babes. Everybody say the word babes. So you got to realize who you are. See, some of you shouldn't be babies anymore, but there are babies. And you need to tell those babies, there's nothing better for you to do right now. The mission of your life right now is the Word of God. Get up under the Word. Amen. You know, and if you figure out that you don't know something, well, get in there and hear the Word and grow up. Amen. No excuse. Babies, eat the Word. And your others are going to find out what you're going to be doing. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. God wants us all to grow. He wants us to grow up spiritually. He doesn't want us to be dummies walking around, don't know nothing, don't believe anything, don't have any faith, don't know anything about the gifts of the Spirit, don't know anything about the anointing of God, always letting the devil walk over us. God wants the babies to hear the word of God and grow up. These are the last days. These are the last days, and we're starting to see the devil just come in and knock people out because they don't get the word of God. But the word of God will establish you and strengthen you and keep you strong. It says, newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So we can expect, and as believers, and some of us that are older in the Lord, and you've grown up, you got to realize that there's going to be a grace, and there's going to be anointing for babies. And you must pray that they would desire the word of God. And as they desire the word of God, there is a house someplace that'll teach it to them, amen, that they can get fed when they need to get fed. Okay, so babies, newborn babes must desire. And that word desire, how many desire the word? How many really desire the word? You need to pray for a desire. Many people desire the things of the world. They're lonely. Desire, you know, we trade in husbands and wives like we trade in cars. I'm serious. You get tired of this one, get another one. Blame it on anything else. We trade them in. This one, here, new one here. I'm going to find me a new one. We desire all kind of stuff. And people get off into the desires of the world because they don't desire the word. People are full of lust, full of all the things that everything the world has to offer, ever wanting stuff but never getting anything. Why? Because of a lack of the desire of the word of God. When you lose your desire, that yearning to hear more about God, to love God, even know the things of God, guess what? You're going to desire some other things. People that get off into addictions, some people have been into addictions. Anybody ever heard of an addiction?
Amen.
Well, the one deliverance from addiction is the desire of the Word of God. Did you know that?
Amen.
Deliverance from addiction is a desire to have the Word of God.
Amen.
If you long for Jesus, you won't long for other things. If you're single and you know, I just can't live single anymore, I got to find somebody else, desire the word of God. Replace that figure of Mr. Right or Mrs. Wrong or whoever it is for the word of God.
Amen.
For the word of God, desire God. If you're not going to be desiring God and desiring the word of God, you're going to desire everything the devil has to offer in this new year. You've got to have a desire. You've got to have a desire. And I've seen people fall away when they lose that desire to know God. Someone asked me, what is revival? What is the spirit of revival? You know what revival is? Basically, desire to know more about God. A yearning to have God. That is the best gift that you could ever get. And that word desire, you can break it down. It says a lust. A lust. An intense craving. A lust and an intense craving for the word of God. We must keep that desire and that intense craving and that yearning burning within the hearts of new converts. A convert will fall away. They just can't come and love, fall in love with us and expect them to make it. Keep that desire to come to church. That's not going to happen. They've got to have it in it. They've got to get addicted to the Word of God.
That's right.
How many of you would love to see some saints addicted to the Word of God?
Amen.
I'm tired of seeing saints addicted to everything else but Jesus.
Amen.
TV, television is an addiction. In this society, in this day, we're looking at the last and evil days. Really, it is. People are addicted to everything. Why? Because they don't become addicted to the Word of God. Say, Lord, Give me an addiction.
Give me an addiction.
For your word.
For your word.
It's the drug we need.
Amen.
They say that the word is like precept upon precept, line upon line, precept upon precept. Well, we figured out that precept meant medication. It's a drug.
Yeah.
I'm hooked. You need to get hooked on the word of God, and you can, to where you don't get it one day, you start to shake a little bit.
Amen.
Addicted to the word of God.
Yeah.
Or you'll fall away. Replace the lust of the flesh with the lust of with a lust for the word of God. This will cause your spirit to grow. This will cause your spirit to grow. The flesh will fade away. There's an insight here that we need to look at. When we're studying this thing with the Spirit of God, notice that it said, why is he talking about the grass fading away in this same bunch of scriptures? Why would he throw the grass fades away along with the sincere milk of the word? What does that have to do with anything? Grass fading away. What God is basically telling us, listen, get into the word of God so that when Jesus comes, something will last and something will stand. Other things are going to fade away, and the only thing that will remain stable is the Spirit. It's the Spirit. All these flesh, the lust of the flesh, and all of our little ideas and every little crazy thing, every fad that comes along, those things won't be there. But the Word of God, the Spirit of God, that's the thing that will remain on the last day. Only what you keep by the Word of God will live. Did you know that? Only what you keep by the Word of God will live in the last day. Only what you sustain by the Word of God, by faith, by the anointing of God, that is the only thing that will live. Now, go on. We want to get into something else. The lust and the flesh. We're learning how to live.
Amen.
We're going to get an insight for the new year to come. I wish that we could just realize where we are as a body, where we are as a nation, where we are as a people. We can expect the world to grow darker and the grace of God to go brighter and brighter each day. And right here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered in the flesh for us, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffereth in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Somebody say, suffer.
Suffer.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
That means you don't get everything your flesh wants. The devil's accommodating flesh in these last days.
Mm-hmm.
Any little fetish, any little crazy thing you want, any little freaky thing that you're out there at, yeah, we're going to say it. I mean, the television will accommodate that. Shopping centers will accommodate that. Any sin you're into, anything, I mean, it's going to be very easy and accessible in these new days. Things that you could think something, and man, is it even a sin to think it? Today, you can get it within 15 minutes. It's available, and the devil's going to make every little fleshly desire within you available in these last days. You can't even turn on the TV. My goodness. You just see mess from all over the world. The internet, mess from everywhere. Why? It's available. It's available. And if people don't learn to crucify that flesh and put the flesh down, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to have to suffer in the flesh a little bit this year. What do you mean suffering the flesh? That means telling that flesh, no. I don't care if everybody else is doing it. No. I don't care if it's legal. No. I won't. Amen. I can't afford to do this. I want to live for God.
Amen.
As Christ suffered in the flesh, every believer is going to have to suffer in the flesh. We just think that because we get saved and there's some grace, we can do whatever we want, whenever we want, and how we want. You'll lose everything. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Desire the word. Desire the word. If you don't desire the word, you will desire the world.
That's right.
So you've got to learn not to lust after the flesh. It says, listen, that we should cease from sin, that we no longer should live the rest of his time, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. We talk all kind of stuff. Yeah, we believe in prosperity and all these things. But in the year 2001, we've only seen a foreshadow in this last year of the devil's ways. We've only seen a foreshadow of some things. But in these last days, it will be the strong, those that remain to the end, and that will win the prize.
Amen.
Now listen, if we've crucified the flesh, don't live after it anymore. But it says right here that we should not live after the lust of men. It's acceptable today for people to live after the lusts of society. Your neighbor wants it, now you want it. Keep it up with the Joneses. Everybody's got it, why can't you? Everybody's in debt, why can't I be in debt? Everybody's getting this, why can't I have this?
Glory.
Everybody else is the lust of men. The lust of men. We are peculiar people. God has called us out and separated us that we should live holy and acceptable unto God. We can expect in the year 2001. See, what's the problem right here? People don't want to hear the truth, but you shall know the truth. That means get familiar with the truth, and the truth will set you free. You must separate yourself from the lust of man. What do you mean the lust of men? People aren't lusting after the word of God. Separate yourself.
Amen.
Let them follow you someplace. Let them follow you. I'm not missing anything. I mean, many people don't go after the lust of the flesh, amen, because they think, I'm trying to get to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I also don't have a desire to do that stuff.
Amen.
God will set you free. Yeah. People think the life of the Christian life, the walk of the Spirit, is a big torture. No, it's not. It's a liberty. You don't need that stuff. That we should no longer live to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Wow. In the year 2001, don't live after the lust of men, but you live after the will of God. What does God want with your year? What does God want with my life? Not what society says is acceptable, but what does God want to get accomplished? There is a God. There is a God, and you better make up in your mind right now that I'm going to consecrate my life to Jesus Christ this year to come. I'm not going to go after the lusts of the world, but I'm going to go after the will of God in these last days. And you're going to find things. We're building churches today. We're building large churches today that are based totally on nothing but a pat on the back as they do their own thing. That's what the whole thing is based on, a pat on their back so they can do the whole thing. When the church is the entrance for people to come out of the world and come into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That we should live after the will of God. For the time past of our life will suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walk in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine, revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them. See, that's the problem with people. We don't want to look strange anymore. We get seeker friendly. We want to look just like them because they might think you're crazy. They come into a church and everybody's raising their hands. We're afraid to look strange. They even tell people in certain places now, look sexy so the people will come. You'll look strange if you get up there looking any kind, you know what I'm saying? Wherein they think it's strange. It's no new thing. To be a Christian, they thought they were strange back then.
Right.
It's all right to be a little bit strange today.
Thank you, Jesus
is strange, for the mind of the man cannot conceive the things of God. And if you're of God, they shouldn't be able to figure you out either.
Right.
I can't figure you out, Pastor. I'm like God. Your mind can't conceive it. It's a God thing. You wouldn't understand it. Get a hold of it. God will change you so you can.
Amen.
You're a strange thing. How can you walk like that? They're trying to find a reason how you can walk in righteousness and how you can walk in holiness and how you can live without sin and how you can live without running with this one and not running with that one.
Yeah, that's right.
They think that's strange. Today we see people walking holy. We say, you just don't know about what they're walking in. It's not strange to have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Everybody's not doing it. Wherein they think it's strange that you run not with them. People get mad when you say they won't run with you. I mean, they'll call you strange when you don't want to go the way of the world. They'll call it strange when you don't want to go the way of the world. Amen. Y'all just out of it. You know, y'all not going this way. There's some strange people that you run with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. They'll talk about you. When you try to separate yourself, people will talk about you. I'm not saying you're better than anybody else. Nobody wants to live like that. People in the world should look at you and fall in love with you. To a certain extent, you know, you don't have to be, you know, with your nose head up and the big bun stuck on your head and no makeup on. And that's not the strange he was talking about. He said a strange people, not a weird one. I mean, that's a bondage.
Yeah, yes.
That's a big bondage.
That's right.
But in these last days, we need to be strange in these last days. Now listen, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. There's evidence that the end is at hand. Scripturally, biblically, and even scientifically. Even scientifically. There are all these, God's got options now what he can use to shut everything down. I mean, he's got it in the space and a meteor. He's got that over there. He got the sun doing its bit. And he's got this missile over here. This fruitcake over there. He's got nuclear warfare. He's got all kind of back. There's all kind of stuff out there to shut everything. And we can't see it. People used to believe this when they didn't see a possible end. The early church didn't see it. There was no way that the world would ever shut down other than the word of God saying it would. But today the word of God says it wouldn't. We got several evidences that the end is at hand.
That's right.
You look at some of the stuff, you look at some of the fruitcakes around the world today leading the world, and you not all these crazy things going on around the world. The end is at hand. There's a little red button someplace. He can do it any way he wants to. And until the church stands up and says, listen, this thing not gonna go on forever. Have you told anybody that lately? Look at somebody in the face and say, listen, this thing, this little cosmos, this world, God said, it is not going to continue forever. He is going to pull the plug. There's a clock ticking. I mean, now there's an assortment how he's going to shut it down. I mean, isn't this good to hear? Isn't this good to hear? We see all, I mean, we see the band, we see them setting up the hangman's noose. And still living any way we want to and acting any kind of way we want to. Platform built and the rope up there. God said it thousands of years ago. And the whole thing's being set up and we're still going. Living any kind of way, acting any kind of way, not doing anything. The end is at hand. It said it here in the Word. Be ye therefore sober. That's the problem. Be ye therefore sober. Get your head together. Get your mind renewed with the Word of God and wake up. Don't be drunken with the things of the world and the things, you know, these crazy stuff, but be sober of the right spirit and watch and pray. How do you know somebody doesn't know the end is near? They don't pray. Period. They can talk it all they want to, but if they knew what time it was, they'd be praying.
Amen.
Watch and pray.
Watch and pray.
Watch and pray. Be looking for it and pray. Be looking for it and pray. That's the evidence that you really know that the end is near. And it says, above all things, have fervent what?
Love.
Have fervent love for one another. Why do you think the Holy Ghost is teaching us about love? Because the end is near.
Amen.
Why is he teaching the body of Christ to love each other and get over all this stuff? Because the end is near. And love shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. We got to learn this fellowship thing. In this last stage, the church needs to come together and be strong and be what God says we can be and separate ourselves and find and identify ourselves and say, hey, you're one of those getting ready to get out of here. So am I. Come on, we're together in Jesus' name. Come on over and eat with me. Come on over and walk with me. We can make it. We've got to see this supernatural fellowship manifest in the last day. That is one of the evidences of the last day.
Amen.
See, the love of many will wax cold, but didn't say the love of everybody. Didn't say the love of everybody, but those that remain and remain strong and remain faithful, you're going to upgrade in everything that Jesus said you can have. You're going to upgrade in the anointing. You're going to upgrade in the spirit of power, but you're also going to upgrade in your love toward one another.
Amen.
I prophesy a revival of supernatural Holy Ghost love within the body of Christ in this year. No greater love is any man than he laid down his life for a friend.
Right.
I'm ready to see some great things.
Yes.
Use hospitality. That's why God's blessing you with stuff. But you should realize this, that you, when you get blessed, you don't get blessed for yourself.
Amen.
Let God bless you and use your home as a ministry.
Yes.
You be given to hospitality. Amen. Be given to hospitality in these last days. One to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister. Love and minister. You better write that down. Hear the word, love one another, and minister. You want something to do this next year? Hear the word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the word and practice loving each other and minister. These are the instructions of the last day for the believer. And you need them all to continue in it. I mean, you don't want to get stuck just loving each other and not ministering.
Amen.
That's a mess. That's awful. That's when you really get strife.
Amen.
When churches are based on nothing but fellowship and no ministry. Always a potluck, but never an outreach. There's got to be a balance. I mean, when they say, hey, we're going out to minister, I mean, you need to show up just as fast. They say, hey, look, there's free food.
Amen.
You need a balance of the other one. And don't just show up for the outreaches and the free food and miss the word.
Amen.
Because nobody want to eat with somebody that hadn't eaten the word. I don't.
Amen.
You need a balance of all of them.
Amen.
People that have their spirit together. People that have their spirit under subjection because they got it under the Word of God. And they're putting the Word of God into it. And people that have got their psyche together, their soul together, because they've allowed the body of Christ to solically get together and they walk in love. You hear what I'm saying? They got a balance of their soul there because they fellowship. And many of your minds won't be healed until you get in fellowship with real saints. And then their flesh is together. How do they keep their flesh under subjection? They make it do what God says do. They minister with it.
Amen.
There's only one way to put your body under is minister with your body. When the Holy Ghost says get up out of bed, get it up out of bed. When the Holy Ghost said go minister to somebody, go minister to somebody. Put your body under.
Amen.
Whole people in the last day. People that follow the Word of God and worship God with all their spirit, with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind. And people that fellowship together in a godly way. Because saints have never been set up under the Word long enough to learn how to do fellowship. But after you get up under the Word of God, you've got some things within you to where that time will be beneficial. To where somebody get in there with a bunch of mess, the Word of God, and somebody else say, hey, listen, that's not Jesus.
Amen.
We're called to walk in love. Amen. You understand?
Amen.
Allow people to get into the Word of God and fellowship with the Word first, and then they can naturally fellowship with the body. It's nothing like people that are Word people fellowshipping with Word people. Oh, it's wonderful.
Amen.
Oh, it's wonderful. You don't have to fellowship with people just because they come to church. Devil comes to church. That's where you miss it. People think, oh, just because oh, they showed up, they got to come. No, they don't. Fellowship with people that are in the Word. And minister as you've been given a gift, minister. Isn't this good?
Amen.
And minister. Now, the word minister. See, responsibility. We've spoken this thing over and over again. You're not going to have a ministry. You're not going to have a church unless you have ministers. And minister, one of the words for minister is it means to be an attendant. Write down the word minister. Be attendant, that means attend to it. People don't think that you have to be a minister. Somebody say, what's the most important thing about ministry? I said, get up and go. That's the most important thing about ministry. Not what God told you in the bed, but what you're walking in. What are you doing? Just do it. Do anything. Do something. And be attentive to it. See? Consistently. Consistent. You won't have a church unless you have consistent attendant ministers. Not just a name badge. Not just a title, but an attendant. Faithful. Attendant. Am I a pastor because somebody gave me a certificate that I hung on my wall? They don't mean nothing. It's nice. Doesn't pay the bills. Don't move God. I've got to get my butt up every Sunday morning and do what God told me to do. I got to be attentive to the things of God. People think just because you got an anointing on the inside of you, that's going to do it by itself. Oh, it's nice, but you got to put that anointing on some flesh and walk it out.
Amen.
So you got to be an attendant. It means to serve. To serve. See, if you're not even willing to upgrade your faith in that area by coming just to hear it, it'll never happen naturally. It's the truth. It's just not going to pop and all of a sudden you're going to do it. You're not going to want to do it. You got to put the flesh under and get out and just sit there and say, hey, look, we need a coffee bar person. I don't feel like being a coffee bar person. I don't feel like being a greeter. I don't feel like being a balloon person. I don't feel like passing out flyers. I don't feel like doing anything. That's a problem. That's a flesh problem. That means you need to put the flesh under and get up under the Word. If you put it up under the Word, guess what? It'll change who you are. It'll change who you are. It will. I mean, just sit up under there and hear it. There are certain things that need be done.
Yeah.
It's the truth. But I tell you what, reality is we all expect stuff just to happen. Pastor can do it, all of a sudden there's a big revival going to come, and wow, and the revival's going to come, and all of a sudden it'll be there. Not like that. Why? So they can come and live just the way we do? It's not going to happen like that. It's going to happen as people do those things, as they love, fellowship, get up under the word, and minister. You got to put the flesh under and become a minister. Talk about what we need to do in this new year to come in. We've talked about that God expects us, one, to hear the word. To hear the word. We tell us that we can expect to learn to fellowship with one another. And supernatural Holy Ghost fellowship. And that we need to minister. There's a promise. Glory to God. We need to grab a hold of it and bring it to manifestation. We got to work that word. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange. Don't think it strange. When you look around here this morning, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you. You set out to do some things in your ministry and do some things in your life. You expect to be peaches and cream, and all of a sudden it's tried. Don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange that you're going to have to put a little bit of push into it, that you have to exert a little bit of energy. You have to do something. It's trying. Trying. What does trying mean? It's trying to get the thing started. Anybody ever got in a car that wouldn't start? You turned the key and you tried. Well, the trials are the trying of your faith. It tries to activate your faith. This thing right here is trying your faith. The situation with your home, it's trying your faith. There's faith that's not activated. What do you mean faith that's not activated? That means there's something that needs to be done that's not getting done. Faith is action. There's trying your faith. Something said, listen, this situation this morning, the situation that you're dealing with, things that aren't right, things that aren't perfect, you're trying to blame it all on the devil. It's nothing but something that's trying to get your faith started. God's trying to get my faith started. Turn the key. Don't be afraid of things. Don't be afraid when the devil comes your way. Don't be afraid. Fear not. It's just trying. It's just going. Trying your faith. But when you activate that faith and you get up and do something about it, something will happen. Think it not strange, this fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. That thing that some of you got to face in the morning, it's not strange. Trial that you might have in your family, it's not strange. That devil that might be on one of your relatives that won't come off, it's not strange. That checkbook that needs to be black is turned red, it's not strange. That trial on your job with the supervisor, whoever it is, and the girl that wants to take your place, whatever it is, it's not strange. It's there to try your faith. But let it keep on trying. Sooner or later, it'll kick in something that the devil never knew you had. It'll start to purr. Wait till it starts. Don't you start nothing, devil. Try me. You'll start something. Say, try me. You're about to start something. We can handle it, and so can God. With God, we can handle it. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory may be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Supernatural Holy Ghost joy.
Amen.
Somebody say joy.
Joy.
What does that mean? When this trial that you're facing, some of you are facing situations and you're dealing with stuff and you feel overwhelmed with it. I mean, it's just so much. You can't handle it. It's a big mess. And you say, why me, God? It's trying your faith, but as soon as the car starts, weeping may endure for a night. It didn't say for a month, it didn't say for a year, it said weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Somebody say, when the car comes on, joy comes on. You'll have joy, God, unspeakable for it. But the Bible says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your energy, amen. So let that thing try your faith and get your faith started and expect the joy of God to come on the scene and something wonderful will happen. It says, happy If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Now, as we step out to do some of these things, devil doesn't want it to happen. As you step out to be healed, as you step out to build a work of God, I mean, it's not going to be easy. I mean, it's a fight. The world doesn't want it to happen. The devil doesn't want it to happen, but God wants it to happen. So don't be surprised when you run into a little bit of problems and you have to suffer a little bit, but make sure you're suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ and not for your stupidity. Amen. We're allowed to suffer to get the word across, but we're not allowed to suffer for stupidity. No, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For the time is come, and it says, for the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And you know, that prophetic anointing has been rough on the house. Think that they're this and think that they're that. We want to judge everybody outside of the stuff. Everybody that doesn't claim God, we want to judge them for living unrighteously when they can only live like their father the devil. But judgment must begin in the house of God for those that claim Jesus Christ. Judgment's going to begin in the house of God. I thank God for it. I mean, how many were so glad when we had this thing with all the Supreme Court that went down and they finally came to a verdict? Judgment. They said, this is what's going to be and this is what it is. It's a finalization. Well, there's a whole lot of wishy stuff, smoke stuff over the body of Christ, and we need judgment. What is a Christian? What's not a Christian? What's the anointing and what's not the anointing? What's a church and what's not a church? Do we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Do we not need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? What is this all about? Somebody say judgment. There are so many. Somebody say, I don't even know which one to go from. There's so many choices and so many decisions out there. We don't know who to choose and where to choose. We don't know which way to go. But God said judgment will begin in the house of God. Amen. I believe in this season, this age, the remnant of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be revealed by the judgment of God. He's going to shake it, and everything that shakes, let it shake. But the pure thing will stand in the last day. It says, listen, for the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And it first begin at us. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? If we believe that the end of the world is near, we need to believe that God's about to judge the world. But before he can judge the world, he's got to judge the house of God. He's about to clean house. I mean, they're getting ready for the final wedding. I mean, the bride's in the chamber, combing her hair, brushing her teeth. He said he's coming back for a bride without spot nor wrinkles. Remember the message we preached, not a rotten tooth, wrinkle-dressed bride? He's getting her ready. He's coming back. Amen? He's getting the bride ready. Not defeated. He's not coming back for no church when only 2% of the body of Christ on a whole level tithes. Some cleaning needs to be done. There's some cleaning that needs to be done. It's going to start in here. Yes, it will. But it'll start in us. And then it will go throughout. So we can expect it to happen. If the righteous scarcely be saved. And if the righteous scarcely be saved. Now this scarcely be saved thing says something to me. If it says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, why are you going to live any kind of way? If the righteous are scarcely saved, why are you going to try to live unrighteously? This is not the time to be playing games. Somebody lied to you. The righteous scarcely be saved. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Suffer, that means yield to the will of God. Commit the keeping of their souls in doing well. Wherefore, let them that suffer. See, we got to embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. I mean, how many had to suffer this morning to come? When you want to do something else and you came anyhow, that's a suffering. How many would just love to do whatever you felt like doing, but you suffer just a bit. Everybody appears to be so free. But I got this responsibility. It says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. How many are suffering according to the will of God? You got to realize, let those that suffer according to the will of God. Where are you suffering according to the will of God? Where is your suffering according to the will of God? Where are you suffering according to the will of God? Somebody say, I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid
to suffer according to the will of God. you can be prospered as a millionaire, but still suffering according to the will of God. You don't realize that God will bless you. He's not trying to take away your house, your car, your all that stuff. God's ready to bless you and hook you up and do you well. Amen.
Yes.
He wants you to be an overcomer, more than an overcomer. Glory to God. But he always wants you to suffer according to the will of God, that your faith might be strong. That means you see some stuff. You say, Lord, I don't think I can hang with that. I don't think I can handle that. I don't think I got enough. God says, suffer according to the will of God. I'm yoked to the will of God.
Yes.
I'm yoked to the will of God. And at times there's a responsibility there. And when I'm yoked to the will of God, I got to yield to it. I got to hang to. I got to hang with it. I can't give up. I got to be faithful. The Bible says that he that is faithful and endures to the end shall be saved. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I believe that word and I trust that word, and I believe it's going to manifest in this hour and in this time. Therefore, I'm going to commit in this year 2001, and I advise you by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to commit yourselves, commit the keeping of your soul. So you got your spirit taken care of, but God's ready to work over your soul. He's ready to work over your emotions. He's ready to work over that thing that's been getting over on you, where you've been ready to quit and give up in years, time past, in depression, in strife, in fear, and in all those things. You're about to commit your soul in this year 2001 in doing well. See, I'm ready to commit myself. See, when people go crazy, they commit themselves. When you go crazy to the devil, they commit themselves too, but they commit themselves to an institution. But I dare you by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to commit yourself. Somebody say, I can't handle it anymore. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I want to do. Therefore, I'm going to commit myself to the will of God. It is no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me and giveth me the power to do great exploits in his name. I'm committing myself this year to perform the will of God in anything and in everything, no matter what comes, no matter what happens. We commit our souls. Somebody say, I not only got a spirit to do it, but I got a mind to do it too. You're going to do well and you're going to reap. You're going to find some things out in the next teachings that come. But in the year 2001, we said this is a season of reap.
That's right. Reaping.
This is a season of reaping. Amen. 2000 was a seer weeping. But this is the year when he's turning the weeping into reaping. Glory
Hallelujah.
To God. He's turning the weeping into reaping. It says, those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Hallelujah. Don't you hear the Holy Ghost? Though some of you have cried in the night season, ready to give up and cry and say, why is this happening? I don't understand it, but you held on anyhow. And I got a word from the Holy Ghost. Those that have sown when they felt like crying, sown when they felt like giving up, you shall reap in joy. I watered the seed of the word of God with my tears, and now I'm ready to reap a harvest of joy. Now listen, it says, if you're faithful in doing well, be not weary in doing well. And there's only one way that you're not going to be weary in doing well, if you commit your souls, if you commit your souls to the will of God, you'll be faithful. And it says, as unto a faithful creator.
Amen.
As unto
a faithful.
Why did they use the word creator here? That means he's a faithful God, that he'll create something for you. You can expect to get on the faithfulness of God. Said Abraham believed God. He was a friend of God because of faith. You committed your soul to Jesus Christ. He's going to be faithful to perform his word and create something special for you. I have not seen nor ear have heard the good that the Lord has for those that wait on him. You've waited on him in this season. God's creating something good just for you. He's creating a miracle just for you. He's creating for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, I expect in this year 2001 God to reveal himself to me as a faithful creator. Therefore, I receive creative ideas. This is the season of creative ideas. This is a season of creative ideas. Glory to God. Witty invention. Flow in your witty invention. Flow in witty invention. Laugh about it. Glory to God. Laugh about it. Laugh about those things. Laugh about those things.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in The Woodlands, Texas.